Hey, thanks for taking a few minutes today to tune in. We pray that no matter where you're listening from, these messages are engaging, encouraging, and relevant to where you are on your life's journey.
Can you believe how fast time goes? We've been in this series for 6 weeks. This is the seventh and final week. Now, I know your friends have lots of questions, and maybe we'll do Asking for a Friend 2.0 or Chapter 2 or something like that sometime. But our friends have tons of questions about faith, about God's existence. And if we were to be quite honest with ourselves, we probably have some of the same questions that our friends may have, our coworkers may have, and some people here may have made a decision to follow Jesus despite of some of those reservations, but other people might be here that you've seen a social media post about asking for a friend and says, that sounds interesting, I'm gonna go. But we've been tackling some questions over the last 6 weeks, and we've been tackling topics like sex, hell, evil, suffering, science, hypocrisy, right? Every Christian's a hypocrite. Remember that when we talked about, isn't church a place for the broken, for the hurting, for the people that don't have it all together? And we talked about how Discovery is not a Christian club, not a country club, but it should be a hospital for the broken. Today we're going to, this is not the last question that your friends will ever have. I believe you me. One thing I hope that we've decided is that we're going to dig a little deeper on these topics because each and every week, 25 minutes doesn't do it justice. Okay, I could even speak, I spoke for 32 minutes 1 week and that didn't do it justice either, but we just don't want to stick our head in the sands and think that our friends don't talk about them at all, right? So we're doing our best to try to enlighten it and to try to spark something that we would leave here and say, I got to get to the bottom of what I believe when I get home, because we believe that when we seek truth, there's one person that we find, and that's Jesus. So your foundation in inviting people into relationships with individuals or inviting people into relationship with you, saying you need Jesus doesn't always work. You know that doesn't, you might feel, I feel that everybody needs Jesus, but I can't walk into, you know, a Starbucks or scream from the street corner, even though some people try really hard. It just doesn't work. But I can say to people, it's like, you know what? That makes sense and Jesus makes sense for me and I'm not new age-ish, but you can say, would you be willing to start a relationship where we can seek truth together? The Bible says that he wants everybody to come to the knowledge of the truth. So if we seek truth with other individuals, we shouldn't be afraid that God is not going to win. Because my God wins, right? So whenever we seek truth together, so you welcome people into a relationship, say, hey, come over for lunch, come over. I want to know your belief, you know mine. When we cipher through it, when we shake it all up, whatever's left, could that be truth? And let's believe that. Does that make sense? Cool. On a good roll this morning. So the last question that we want to tackle in our Asking for a Friend series is, I want to believe, but is Jesus real? Or maybe you might believe that he's real, but is Jesus worth following? Now, many people have heard the word Jesus before, whether or not it's used in a derogatory way or an incorrect way. But if you get down into human history and talking to people, most people would believe that Jesus, the most common answer is that Jesus was a good teacher. And they would probably even go as far to say that even the principles that we read in the Bible that Jesus talked about and said are actually good principles to base your life on. Some of the things that we base our lives on, even in Edmonton, and we say that there's 300,000 people in our city that don't even know that Jesus exists for them, are still probably aware of some principles and some teachings that Jesus talked about. Let's take the golden rule, for example. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you, found in Luke 6:31. I was actually getting my hair cut about a year ago, and my hairdresser was cutting my hair, and we were talking about the Bible, and this kind of same conversation came up. And I was like, oh, well, you know the Bible. You know some of the Bible. She's like, I've never opened the Bible. I've never read it before. But I'm like, have you ever heard the do unto others as you would have them do to you, the golden rule? She was like, yeah. I was like, that's in the Bible. She was with some colorful words, get out of here, right? Now, lots of times in our culture, we've shifted words around because we don't always want to say that it came from the Bible, but you've probably heard things like treat others the way you want to be treated. What you don't want done to you, don't do to others. We've all heard it. It's the golden rule. There's other principles that, for the most part, if we live by now, some of these principles are hard to live by. Don't get me wrong. Like, don't go to sleep on your anger. That's a tough one. Anybody's married here, you know that that's a tough one because you want to be angry and you want to go to sleep and you want to let your partner know that I'm angry and I'm going to go to sleep on it. And if sometimes, don't judge me. Well, you could judge me. It might make me better. But sometimes I'm so stubborn that I want to let my wife know that, you know what, I'm angry with you and I'm not going to deal with it until the morning. Now, Vianne's the only one that agrees with me, and everybody else is kind of like, oh, you're so bad, but you're agreeing too. But there's time, so don't go down, or don't go to sleep on your anger, or take care of the poor. Maybe most of us in this room would probably, while walking by a homeless person, would have some compassion, whether or not we do something about it. Or if our neighbor needs help and they're widowed and by themselves, you would probably, for the most part, try to do something about it. Honor your father and your mother. Don't murder. That's a great one. Principles to live by, right? Things found in the Bible. But the real problem with this Jesus fellow, when we talk about him, comes in when Christians, when people like some of us are here, when we start saying things like this. This is where people start to have hesitancies and problems. That there's no other way to God than through Jesus, God's son. Or when we say that he is the only way, the truth, and the life. Or they get this, you can't even go to heaven if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. What does that even mean to somebody that's not a believer in Jesus yet? Those are principles that are harder for our friends to comprehend. Many people that we meet, your friends, your coworkers, colleagues, I guess coworkers and colleagues are the same thing. Many people would probably respect Jesus as a teacher, maybe even a leader, and they might even go as far as say that Jesus was a revolutionary, but they don't want to worship him as Lord. They don't want to become a devout Christian because they aren't completely convinced what the Bible says about him and who he is. Somebody that they can't touch, they can't see, they can't hear. Their senses tell them that everything is, it doesn't exist. Now, as Christians, you would believe that the spiritual world is more real than the physical world. But for many people, the physical world is all that they know. So to try to help them and help individuals believe in this Jesus fellow is far-fetched. But today I hope that no matter where you are in your journey, whether or not you've been a believer in Jesus for 40 years, 50 years, maybe for 5 days, maybe you're not even a believer yet. Maybe you just came in here today because you've seen a sign out on Rabbit Hill Road pointing in Discovery Church 10 a.m. and you decided to come. But I hope that today helps us solidify our faith. And for those individuals that may be on the fence about if Jesus is real or not, would actually give a little bit of a tipping point. As we look at evidence that Jesus didn't only exist, but what he said about himself, what the Bible records, makes more sense than any other possibility. Today, I want to break down just for a few minutes a teaching made very popular by a guy by the name of C.S. Lewis. And C.S. Lewis is famous for writing some books. He started off by being an atheist. He was very intelligent, very smart man. He started off by being an atheist. He was trying to disprove the existence of God. And the deeper and deeper and deeper that he got into trying to find evidence that God didn't exist, the more he became convinced that God, that a supreme being, that Jesus being the son of God and the savior of the world made way more sense than any other possibility. A couple of weeks ago, Pastor Ron shared about science. And as the more that we dig into science, the more it makes sense that there is a supreme being, a supreme creator than just happen. Right? It's really easy on the surface level to say that God doesn't exist or that Jesus is not who he says he was. But I would challenge each and every one of us to peel off another layer, because the deeper that we go, it seems that there's more evidence or a more logical sense to believe that there's a creator, that there is a Jesus that said who he is who he said he was. C.S. Lewis said this. Said, I'm trying here to prevent anyone from saying the really foolish things that people often say about him being Jesus. He said, I'm ready to, and he quotes people, says, I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. And then C.S. Lewis goes on, because the most famous thing that people will say that Jesus was a good teacher. Then C.S. Lewis goes on and says, that is the one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. Sometimes I think we as individuals, Christians, non-Christians, Hindus, Sikhs, Muslims, everybody, sometimes we just look for the easy answer and say, oh, well, that makes sense. Let's just go with that. Sometimes we need to dig a little deeper. With the evidence and research that we've uncovered, even in the last half an hour each week, what's that? Last 4.5 hours, last 6 weeks. It doesn't scrape the surface, but I think we've dug deep enough to come to realize that Jesus did exist, that he wasn't a legend. You don't have to dig very far into human history to come to the conclusion that Jesus did walk on the earth. Because it's not just in Christian literature that you find evidence that Jesus existed. So some people would say that Jesus was a legend, but I think we just need to take our heads out of the sand and say he did exist. So C.S. Lewis would say, well, if Jesus did exist, which there is a lot of evidence that points to the fact that Jesus did exist, he would have to be one of three things. And for some of you, this is, you've used this to argue your case for the existence of Jesus. For some of you, this is going to be brand new, but can for all of us, this is still going to be impactful and to help build our faith. C.S. Lewis says that Jesus would have had to been either a liar, a lunatic, or Lord. So there are only three options. Christ either deceived mankind by conscious fraud, making him a liar, or he was himself deluded and self-deceived, which making him a lunatic, or he was actually divine, making him Lord. So I just want, for the next few minutes, let's just take apart each of these three areas, a liar, lunatic, or Lord. Let's start with liar. Let's just say maybe Jesus was born many years ago, and he learned to read, and he was a prodigy. He was so smart that at a very young age, he said, you know what? I know what the Old Testament says. I read about it. I studied about it. I know what people are looking for. I know what people are looking for in a Messiah. I'm going to deceive people. I'm going to lie about who I am. Because who doesn't love a good hero? I'm actually taking Hudson to a birthday party today that's you dress up in a superhero. We love heroes. Hulk, Spider-Man, Superman, whatever your favorite hero, we love it. And that's been throughout history. It's not just in this time of Marvel. People love somebody to come on the scene and say, I'm going to save you from every trouble that you have and life will be perfect and you will get the girl and we will go to Hawaii and we'll just hang out there forever. We love this idea of superheroes. And I would think that even 2,000 years ago that humanity was still loving this idea that there was somebody that I could believe in, that I could put trust in, that will never let me down. So maybe Jesus learned at a young age that I'm going to be that person, that the Jews were looking for a Messiah, looking for a superhero to come in, and I'm going to be that person, and I'm going to learn everything about it, and I'm going to claim to be him. Being a superhero, being somebody that I am the one, is nothing new. But one thing stands out for Jesus against everybody else in history who's claimed to be something special is that Jesus lived up to the claim. See, Jesus healed the blind. He fed the 5,000 with very little food. He turned water into wine, walked on water, raise people from the dead. And if you could believe it, we're celebrating it next week. He rose again from the dead. And the thing is, this is not just him saying it. There's over 500 accounts, as we heard in our very first one. Is the Bible legit? We've seen that there was over 500 accounts that these things that Jesus did actually happened. Maybe you needed some help. So maybe he convinced 12 guys to be his disciples and say, hey, I got this plan. See, I'm not really the Messiah. I'm just lying, but you know what? If we convince all the poor people to give us a little bit of money, but if it's a lot of poor people give us a little bit of money, we'll have a lot of money. Are you on? Money on three. One, two, three. Money. You know, keeping it quiet. Maybe Jesus convinced 12 people to get in on this lie with him. And to not go too deep into this, if that was the case, man, Jesus would have been a horrible person. Ridiculous. To take care, like to take advantage of all those poor people. But you read even outside of Christian literature, outside of the Bible, you even read in literature from other religions that are actually against Christianity, and Jesus is in their religion, and in all of them, Jesus is not a bad person. Jesus is actually a good, moral, holy individual. So to think that Jesus would have done something like that doesn't seem very legit. So for Jesus to be a liar, there's just too many things against the fact that he could be a liar. But maybe he's a lunatic. Actually, that makes way more sense to me. Over liar, I would fall in, if it was liar or lunatic, I would fall in a lunatic. Listen, Jesus did go out for 40 days in the wilderness by himself without food. He talked to the devil, even it seemed to hallucinate a little bit. If I was to look at that, I would seem a little, right? Let's walk on the water. Because you know what happens when you walk on the water? You get wet. Right? Let's try to fly. Not saying that Jesus flew, but that's why mental institutes have bars on the windows. Because people get in rooms and they don't want people to jump out thinking they could fly. Honestly, over liar, I think Jesus would have been more of a lunatic. But the thing is, it would come down to some of his miracles again. And if Jesus was a lunatic, people would not have gotten healed. He would have not walked on water. He would have not fed the 5,000. He would have not turned water into wine. He would have not raised people from the dead. All these signs and wonders that he did, if he was a lunatic, he might have been able to say it. And he might have had himself deceived and people around him deceived. But these wonders and miracles would have never happened. So liar, up to you if you want to believe it. Lunatic, again, it's your choice. if he was a lunatic, why would have Pharisees been upset at him? Why would have they looked at Jesus and seen him as a threat? Why? So liar, lunatic, or what so many of us, maybe not in this room, but so many people in our city don't want to acknowledge, is that Jesus might just be Lord. The crazy thing is that people don't deny Jesus as Lord because of evidence. But most people deny Jesus as Lord because it calls for action. It calls for life change. See, as humans, we want to be selfish. But when Jesus becomes Lord of our lives, he says, give yourselves as a holy sacrifice. See, when Jesus becomes Lord of our lives, we say we're not living for ourselves anymore. But it's easier to call him a liar or a good teacher because I can still live for myself. I can still make money and buy the new, biggest, best car. There's nothing wrong with that. But when Jesus becomes Lord of our lives, we invest in the things that build the kingdom. See, when Jesus becomes Lord of our lives, there's an element of faith and trust that takes over. Sometimes it doesn't make sense. And I'll even say that when Jesus becomes Lord of our lives, it doesn't make our lives easier. Sometimes it makes it harder, but it fills our lives with hope. And when Jesus becomes Lord of our life, there's a hope that takes over that says, you know what, no matter what I walk through, the time here on earth is so short in the light of eternity that God, I will do whatever it takes to win people to you. God, I will go out and I will ask people to seek truth and find purpose. I will go out and I'll bring an Easter invite. I will pick people up on the other side of the city. When my life is surrendered to Jesus, I will drive a truck trailer at 5:30 in the morning to make sure we set up church so we can actually see people come into the kingdom. See, it's easier for us to say that Jesus was a liar or a lunatic than is Lord because it calls to action, it calls to sacrifice. And is it easy? No, it's not. Is it worth it? Absolutely. C.S. Lewis also says, you must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. Now, it seems to me obvious that he was neither a lunatic nor a demon. And consequently, however strange or terrifying or unlikely it may seem, if C.S. Lewis, atheist, trying to disprove God's existence, wrote this, however strange or terrifying or unlikely it may seem, I have to accept the view that he was and is God. Worship team, if I can ask you all to come back. One of the beauties about Christianity is that God doesn't push us to believe in him. He doesn't push us to even have faith in him. He gives us a choice. But God also gave us a brain to look and discover for ourselves if Jesus was really who he said he was. The choice is ours to believe if he was a liar, a lunatic, a legend, Lord. The choice is mine. The choice is yours. And again, we weren't able to dive into any of these topics deep enough to really get an amazing grasp on it. But today, the choice is yours. Would he be a liar? Would he be a lunatic? But if you fall in the park of saying, I think he was Lord, today is the day that you could make a decision to say, he's mine. When you make that decision, your life will change. Sometimes you might not always feel that change. But as you get in community, as you continue to explore your faith, there are going to be things that line up and say, well, how does this line up with what it says in the Bible? And all of a sudden your life starts to take a turn and saying, well, I want to obey God. He's the Lord of my life. I want to obey what he says in the Bible. So instead of doing this, which the Bible is against, I'm going to do this. So making something Lord of our lives is a little scary, because it says we don't have control anymore.
There are so many questions that you may have about faith in Jesus. Can I encourage you to explore those questions for yourself? God is not afraid of your questions. Rather, he welcomes them. Thanks so much for tuning in today. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or Google Play, and be sure to never miss an episode. If you find these talks beneficial, would you rate and review them? That would help others get connected to these kinds of talks. Have a great day. We can't wait to hang with you again next week.